Chapter 5. The Mastermind. Teamwork can be achieved by any group, even one whose members have disparate interests, because all it requires is cooperation. In teamwork, people might simply be cooperating because they like the leader or out of a sense of duty. Some team members will give 100% to any team that pays them enough, but they have little concern about the objective. And sometimes there is good teamwork because different members have different agendas. A board of directors may disagree, even be unfriendly, and still run a business successfully. Musical groups are made up of notoriously self-centered people who work as a team if it will help them get ahead. Masterminds, on the other hand, are formed of individuals who have the same agenda, a deep sense of mission, and commitment to the same goal. Masterminds represent the highest order of thinking by a group of knowledgeable people, each contributing their absolute best according to their abilities, expertise, and background. If you have ever been a part of a meeting where everything just clicked and ideas built upon other ideas, with each member contributing until out of the group activity came the best possible idea or solution, that was a mastermind at work. Power through the mastermind. No individual may have great power without utilizing the mastermind. Power in great quantities can be accumulated only through the coordinated efforts of more than one mind. No matter how intelligent or well-informed you may be, no one individual functioning independently can ever possess great power. The reason is that power must be applied before it is effective. Individuals are limited as to the amount of power they can transmit or apply. You will have to get others to cooperate with you if you are going to organize your knowledge so that you can turn your plans into power. Organized effort is produced through the coordination of effort of two or more people who work toward a definite end in a spirit of harmony. Andrew Carnegie first brought to my attention the mastermind principle. Nearly 20 years ago, I interviewed Mr. Carnegie for the purpose of writing a story about him. During the interview, I asked him to what he attributed his success. With a twinkle in his eyes, he said, "Young man, before I answer your question, will you please define your term success?" After waiting until he saw that I was somewhat embarrassed by this request, he continued, "By success, you make reference to my money, do you not?" I assured him that money was the term by which most people measured success, and he then said, "Oh, well, if you wish to know how I got my money, if that is what you call success, I will answer your question by saying that we have a mastermind here in our business, and that mind is made up of more than a score of men who constitute my personal staff of superintendents and managers and accountants and chemists. No one person in this group is the mastermind of which I speak, but the sum total of all the minds in the group, coordinated, organized, and directed to a definite end in a spirit of harmonious cooperation, is the power that got my money for me. No two minds in the group are exactly alike, but each man in the group does the thing that he is supposed to do, and he does it better than any other person in the world could do it." Carnegie's group of men constituted a mastermind, and that mind was so well organized, so well coordinated, so powerful, that it could have accumulated millions of dollars for Mr. Carnegie in practically any sort of endeavor of a commercial or industrial nature. The steel business, in which that mind was engaged, was but an incident in connection with the accumulation of the Carnegie wealth. The same wealth could have been accumulated had the mastermind been directed in the coal business, or the banking business, or the grocery business, because behind that mind was power. That sort of power, which you may attain when you have organized the faculties of your own mind and allied yourself with other well-organized minds for the attainment of a specific goal. How to multiply your brain power. The human brain may be compared to an electric battery. It is a fact that a group of batteries will provide more energy than a single battery. It is also a fact that the amount of energy provided by each individual battery depends upon the number and capacity of the cells it contains. The brain functions in a similar fashion. Some brains are more efficient than others. A group of brains coordinated or connected in a spirit of harmony will provide more thought energy than a single brain, just as a group of electric batteries will provide more energy than a single battery. When a group of individual minds are coordinated and function in harmony, the increased energy created through that alliance becomes available to every individual mind in the group. Henry Ford began his business career under the handicap of poverty, illiteracy, and ignorance. Within the inconceivably short period of 10 years, Mr. Ford mastered these three handicaps, and within 25 years, he made himself one of the richest men in America. How did he do it? Here is an important clue. Mr. Ford's most rapid strides became noticeable from the time he became a personal friend of the famed inventor Thomas A. Edison. It is a fact that Mr. Ford's outstanding achievements became even more pronounced later, after he formed the acquaintances of Harvey Firestone, John Burroughs, and Luther Burbank, each a man of great mental capacity. Through his association with Edison, Burbank, Burroughs, and Firestone, Mr. Ford added to his own brain power the intelligence, experience, knowledge, and spiritual forces of these four men. Ford used the mastermind principle in exactly the way it is described in this book. Finding your mastermind members. Ally yourself with a group of as many people as you may need in order to assemble a mastermind that will assist you in creating and carrying out your plan or plans for the accumulation of money. Compliance with this instruction is absolutely essential. Choose to associate with people who share common values, goals, and interests, yet who each have a strong desire to contribute to the overall effort. Trial and error will be part of the process, but there are two qualities to keep foremost in your mind. The first ability is to do the job. Do not select people for your alliance merely because you know them and like them. Such people are valuable to you because they improve the quality of your life, but they are not necessarily suited to a mastermind alliance. Your best friend may not be the most knowledgeable marketing professional, but perhaps he or she can introduce you to someone who is. The second quality is the ability to work in a spirit of harmony with others. There must be a complete meeting of minds, without any reservations. Personal ambition must be subordinate to the achievement of the purpose of the alliance. This includes your own. You must also insist upon confidentiality. Some people can give away an idea simply because they love to talk. You don't need them in your group. Attune yourself to every member of the group. Try to imagine how you would react in a given situation if you were in his or her shoes. Pay attention to body language. Sometimes facial expressions and movements say far more about what a person feels than the words that come out of his or her mouth. Be sensitive to what is not being said. Sometimes what is left out is far more important than what is included. Don't try to force the group along too quickly. Allow for those who want to test ideas by playing devil's advocate. Compensating your mastermind. Before forming your mastermind alliance, decide what advantages and benefits you may offer the individual members of your group in return for their cooperation. No one will work indefinitely without some form of compensation, and no intelligent person should request or expect another to work without adequate compensation. Wealth will obviously have the most appeal to your members. Be fair and generous in your offer. Recognition and self-expression may be just as important as money to some of your members. Remember that in such partnerships, the principle of going the extra mile, doing more, and better than paid for is especially important. As the leader, you should set an example for the others to follow. Each member must agree at the outset on the contribution each will make and on the division of benefits and profits. Otherwise, be assured that dissension will arise. You will have wasted everyone's time, you will ruin friendships, and your venture will be destroyed. Meeting with your mastermind. Arrange to meet with the members of your mastermind group at least twice a week, and more often if possible, until you have jointly perfected the necessary plan or plans for the accumulation of money. The first meeting will be involved in sorting out strengths and weaknesses, and in fine-tuning your plans. Your alliance must be active to do any good. Establish specific responsibilities and action steps to be taken. As your mastermind matures and harmony grows among the members, you will find that the meetings create a flow of ideas into every member's mind. Don't let the meetings become so regular and formalized that they inhibit phone calls and other less formal contact. Mastermind maintenance. Maintain perfect harmony between yourself and every member of your mastermind group. If you fail to carry out this instruction to the letter, you may expect to meet with failure. The mastermind principle cannot work where perfect harmony does not prevail. Create a non-threatening environment. Explore all ideas with equal interest and concern for the originator's feelings. Everyone must deal with everyone else on a completely ethical basis. No member should seek unfair advantage at the expense of others. As the leader, you must inspire confidence in your members by your dedication to your desire, which is the object of the group. The members must know with certainty that you are reliable, trustworthy, and loyal. When you are finally ready to present the results of your efforts to investors, buyers, or the public, you may face your greatest leadership challenge in maintaining the harmony of your mastermind. The group's efforts will now be judged by outsiders, and facing judgment takes courage and persistence. The courage of separate individuals is nothing compared with that of a united team. The more you are able to maintain harmony, the greater the power, and the greater the power, the more resistance you can overcome. The mastermind and change. Don't ignore the fact that your chief aim may change and you may have to change your mastermind associates. From time to time, it may become necessary to change the plans that you have adopted for the achievement of your definite chief aim. Make these changes without hesitation. No one has sufficient foresight to build plans that need no alteration or change. If any member of your friendly alliance loses faith in the mastermind, immediately remove that member and replace him or her with some other person. Andrew Carnegie said to me that he, too, had found it necessary to replace some of the members of his mastermind. In fact, he said that practically every member of whom his alliance was originally comprised had, in time, been removed and replaced with some other person who could adapt himself more loyally and enthusiastically to the spirit and objective of the alliance. You cannot succeed when surrounded by disloyal and unfriendly associates, no matter what the object of your definite chief aim may be. Success is built upon loyalty, faith, sincerity, cooperation, and the other positive forces essential to your environment. Many of you will want to form friendly alliances with those with whom you are associated professionally or in business, with the object of achieving success in your business or profession. In such cases, the same rules of procedure which have been described here should be followed. The object of your definite chief aim may be one that will benefit you individually, or it may be one that will benefit the business or profession with which you are connected. The law of the mastermind will work the same in either case. If you fail, either temporarily or permanently, in the application of this law, it will be because some member of your alliance did not enter into the spirit of the alliance with faith, loyalty, and sincerity of purpose.